Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 168 for November 24th, 2009. Too many ships. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by the new voice-activated Sync, featuring hands-free calling, music search, and turn-by-turn navigation. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more information and to enter to win a free Nano or Zune, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
And by
Audible.com. If you haven't tried Audible yet, download a free audiobook without a credit card now through November 26th. Go to Audible.com/Thanksgiving and Audible.com/MacBreak to sign up today.
And by GoToMeeting. Business travel can kill your company's profits, so do more, save more, and travel less with GoToMeeting. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com/MacBreak.
It's time for MacBreak Weekly, the show that covers all things Apple, including, of course, the Macintosh, the iPhone, the iPod, X-Serve. Did they cancel the X-Serve? I think they canceled the X-Serve. Is it over? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
The X-Serve?
They better not.
The X-Raid?
X-Raid they canceled. That was gone a long time ago. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Lindsay, he's the kind of guy you'd walk up to in a store and say, did they cancel the X-Serve, the X-Raid?
And then he would look at you and go, I don't believe so.
No, it was the X-Raid they canceled.
I think they now use Promise Raids.
From... Really? They use Promise?
Well, they usually when you're building like a big XSAN solution.
Did you see the SAN upstairs? Did you hear the SAN upstairs?
I have not gone up.
Sounds like a toilet flushing 24/7.
They're pretty loud.
Also here, Mr. Andy Ichenatko. Did I get the "h" right?
If we were in Portugal, that would be absolutely spot on.
From the Chicago Sun-Times. We're a little punchy because, you know, this is the Thanksgiving edition.
We're having a good time.
Exactly. We're all worried about that 22-pounder we've got brining on the front porch, wondering, yeah, did the squirrels get it again?
I hate it when that happens.
Keep shooing them off. I've got like a fishing rod with like a bobber like on the end of it, so I can just go.
I've been working on like a little security camera that you can, you know, pan and tilt.
Squirrel cam.
But I'm working on putting a laser on it.
Just fried squirrel go good with a turkey.
I don't want to hurt them. I just want to scare them.
A little. They don't need all that fur.
Yeah, you know.
It's not that cold out here in California. So we were talking about turkey before we began, and I understand you are going to be deep fat frying, Mr. Lindsay.
I might actually shoot it, too, with my 5D, just for fun. You can see me run around on fire.
Man.
You know, that's the... No, I'm gonna build a hoist. I've been watching Alton Brown.
What do you mean a hoist?
So I'm going to build
something to hoist. I'm not that excited about
sitting over top of hot oil when I put the turkey in. So I'm going to put something there so that I can be holding a little line, and then the turkey can be being. I can lower the turkey into the vat without standing over top of it, just in case I miscalculate the heat or the amount of oil, and it turns into a fiery inferno.
You have seen the YouTube videos.
I saw all the Alton Brown ones. I've been studying them. I've been, yeah. I've been preparing.
Yeah,
I saw the one where
have
he
you seen
the
Underwriter's Lab of video of when
things go wrong?
When things go, what not to do with a turkey fryer? Because that's basically you've got that oil there. Basically, it's combustible, and you've heated that up to a very high temperature.
It's pretty awesome.
Here's what happens when Underwriter's Lab takes a turkey.
Looks like our partially frozen turkey is ready.
Partially frozen. That's the key. That's
is that what, good or that bad? Do not do that.
The temperature's at 350 degrees, so put the turkey in.
See, I'm not going to do either of those things.
Okay, watch carefully. Notice they've got a firefighter wearing a gas mask.
Right, and
they
don't have the Alton Brown technique. See the part of me standing there? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, move well away. Okay, he's taking the lid off.
Two C-stands.
He's dropping the turkey in. Oh.
Oh, and then they overflow it.
Oh, my God, the humanity. Oh my God,
that's awesome. I'm totally going to try that.
That looks awesome.
We got to try this.
It'll be nice and crisp.
Concerns with deep fat turkey fryers is their lack of stability. Watch how easy it is to tip it over.
Oh, my God. That hurts.
Only two words for you. Burn.
So this public service brought to you by the folks at MacBreak Weekly.
No, I'm properly fine it. I'll properly brine
it. So the mistake they made was to put it in frozen?
You don't want to have it frozen at all. You don't want to have it wet. You don't want to have it.
Yeah, because it will spatter.
Right, and then you also don't
he
want
overfilled
to. You
it.
Want to start at 250. You want to pre-calculate how much oil is in it by pouring water in, you know, to make sure that it's just right. And then you want to make sure it's only about 250 degrees when you actually stick it in, then you can heat it up. You know, you don't start with it that
I don't think
hot.
You really want it like.
Well, this
although that topic. Would be kind of fun.
Go ahead, Andy. I'm sorry.
No. Say this is a good topic for one of your science podcasts, because part of the problem is that the liquid flashes instantly to steam, which becomes an ignition source. It's not simply that it just spatters and then causes problems. Apparently, it's a very complicated dynamic, which makes me wonder why people don't know that Boston Market will sell you a completely cooked bird with three sides on only 90 minutes notice.
But I'm doing it for the experience of it. You know, it's kind of
for the video. Again, you got those red cameras. I'm sure you got high speed going.
Oh yeah.
I'll be so disappointed if it doesn't look like Godzilla is being fought by a flaming frozen deep fried turkey.
You know, and I would do it if my wife wasn't watching. But she's going to want it to be controlled and not on fire and everything.
There's
else.
A guy, so we had him on one of the TV shows. This would be a great job. Who makes fire films for movies. He does it in the dark and in his backyard. He'll burn things and he'll use a high-speed film camera to record this, and then sells his stock footage to movies where it becomes part of the
is
explosion.
Is this VCE or Art Beats? Or?
Somebody like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what an interesting job. That's all he does. He and his son. Blow things up.
I think that's VCE. I have all their discs.
And then it's just flame that is it's disembodied because it's dark, and you just use it as a plate, right?
We used to do that at ILM. You'd hear this. You'd hear over the
fire
intercom.
Fire in the hole.
No. It'd be loud bang on windward stage. And then you'd be boom. You know, it's like this huge. Sometimes it, you know they
I want to work there.
They had a you know it was it was pretty good. They set off car alarms one time, like blocks around. Well, they got a little too excited. They were afraid that they only had one shot at it. I think it was the windmill from Van Helsing, and they put a little too much explosives in it, and it was a
loud bang on Windward 3.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get Colleen. We gotta hook up some. First of all, a building wide intercom.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to say things every once in a while. Loud bang. Back left studio. Let's get to some Mac stories. Hey, here's an interesting Mac story. IBM says end of the line for the cell processor. Now, I'm bringing this up because, once again, I like to castigate myself. I like to flagellate myself. I like to beat myself up for mistakes made in the past. And I was the one who said, when Apple announced it was going to go to Intel, I said, don't go to Intel. Look at this, the future PowerPC, this cell processor from IBM. It's multi-core. It's got, you know, this thing is killer. This is what they put in the PlayStation 3. IBM's VP of Deep Computing David Turek says the cell processor has reached the end of the line. And while heterogeneous multiprocessors, of which the cell was the first, are here to stay, but IBM is not going to make any more cells.
Now, the question is would IBM have made more cells if...
Had Apple
chosen them?
Well, they got them in the PlayStation 3.
That's true.
That's a pretty good deal. Good and I presume there will be a PlayStation 4, but I don't think it'll have a cell in it.
No, probably not. That might have been why they stopped. No big demand.
I think that's it. In fact, Ars Technica says that IBM's decision to call it quits confirms suspicions that the cell's overall commercial success has been limited.
Right.
And, maybe more to the point, there will be a number of cheaper, higher performance, more widely supported alternatives, probably from Intel, right?
Right. I mean, I think that the one of the big things is to see how... I think the more interesting processor conversation is really GPU versus CPU.
Well, and Larrabee, which is the Intel combination of GPU-CPU... multiple x86 cores on the same die, I mean, that's you're right. That's where we're going.
Because when we look at especially graphics processing, you know, we have some of our apps are very GPU driven. And when you get used to a GPU-driven app, there are some limitations to it. But when you compare it to a CPU doing the same thing, you feel like you're watching the paint dry.
Yeah.
You know, with the CPU. You know, it's just the GPU processing now is
I've become a fan. I've become a fan. And you know, the new 10.1 flash that they're beta testing right now is GPU accelerated.
Right.
Which is a huge relief because, as you probably noticed, anybody who's run a CPU measurement utilities knows it's 100% CPU utilization sometimes when you're watching us, for instance.
Right.
And that's not so hot. You really don't want that.
No.
No.
But right now, I guess Apple is having a little trouble with their own CPUs with the iMac.
What's happening?
So the I guess these new the i7 iMacs
are starting to... Of course, it's the one I bought.
Did it come out okay?
I think so. Okay. It's running.
Well, yeah, that's good because the ones that are that they're talking about are that they're showing up without.
Oh, they're dead on arrival.
DOA. Yeah,
because the processor's not working.
Processors. There's cracked screens. There's just some. It seems like it's more than just a handful of them. It's.
I bought
something
one.
That's being reported by Engadget.
Didn't even keep it.
You didn't keep it.
It's a donation to my kid's school. I built him a podcast studio as a charitable deduction.
Wow, nice.
gave him SM58 mics. Those are cheap, $100.
Absolutely.
We got 8 mics because I want him to be able to do music.
Uh-huh.
A very nice Mackie Onyx. The 1620, the new 1620i has FireWire built into it.
Wasn't the one that you just had laying around?
No.
You got
I got him a brand new one because it's the new one and it's cool.
Exactly.
And it's beautiful. And then it's so simple to do a recording studio these days. Mics, mixer. Mm-hmm. And the Onyx is like less than $1,000 for a FireWire 16-channel beautiful mixer. And then they need a computer to record to. I got them Logic Express. Don't think I needed the full Logic.
I think for podcasting, I think Logic Express is fine.
Or for even recording music. It's the MIDI stuff and the special effects that you lose out.
We have one copy of Logic that we do any kind of heavy lifting that we want, but the rest of it's all Logic Express.
Yeah, I meant to ask you before I bought this.
That's what we're doing.
Okay. And then the iMac, 27 iMac, because the librarian at the school has done his own recording. He's a musician. He's done his own CDs. And he says it's been his experience with many tracks, you can really bog a system down. So I got the i7 with 8 gigs of RAM so that you'd have plenty of horsepower to
run.
Sure,
it's going to be plenty.
Yeah, 8 tracks simultaneously. Mm-hmm. But I did test it. I wanted to play with it. Got the Magic Mouse.
What do you think of the Magic Mouse?
Let me tell you about the i27.
Okay,
all right. The i7. And then I'll tell you what I think about this thing.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah. No, it's not going to be good. The thing is almost too big. The screen is massive. Have I talked about this on the show before? I can't remember.
It's pretty much the same width as the 30, isn't it? So it's the same width.
Yeah, 16.9. So it's really wide, but it's a little shorter. But that's just what you want. You want 16.9. Exactly. I don't think you need the 30,
so
which is almost square.
Is it 1920 by 1080? Is that the resolution when you set it?
It's higher than that.
It's higher
than
it's 25. But it's the same. That same.
Yeah, it's 16.9 and full 1080p easy.
Right.
The i7 in there, that's 8. It's hyper-threaded, 4 cores hyper-threaded. So it's 8 threads. It's beautiful.
I've been really thinking about getting that as a monitor for my Mac Pro so I could render to my monitor.
I know. You know what's funny, though? It comes with a little bitty keyboard.
Oh, no.
Because they've cut off the extension. You know, if you look at your Mac keyboard, the thin aluminum ones, it's got a number pad and then it's got, you know, the home button and up and down and the arrow keys. All of that is now built in just this top part. And it's Bluetooth, so it's little the thing is monster comes with a little bitty keyboard and little bitty mouse. And so it's kind of a strange experience. But yeah, I have to say, felt fast, felt good, and it ran. So I didn't realize I was at risk. It's good I tested it before.
Evidently, there's been a higher than normal failure rate coming out. But I'm sure that it's one of those things, early manufacturing.
It's there seem to be two different issues that people are tracking. Number one is just the idea of the packaging is not sufficient. It's just getting broken during transit.
It's so big. I'm not surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not even a subtle thing. It's like you take it out of the box and, oh, there's a decorative crack in the middle of the screen. Wow. Right. What a realistic looking decal. I'll just pull that right off. No, that's actually a cracked screen. And some of these multi-core processors, there's some ideas that they're failing at rates that are considered unacceptable for a machine that costs more than $30.
Well, I guess I was lucky, but I have to say I do recommend it if you have money to spend because it's not. I mean, it's not as bad as you would.
Like $2,200, $2,300.
Yeah, it's cheaper than a Mac Pro.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
it is an absolutely gorgeous machine.
Oh,
though.
So
you,
pretty.
You love to, when you, after you spend a certain amount of money for a machine, you want to plug it in for the first time and immediately forget about what you spent for it. And the quality of this display, the quality of the experience is so way up there on this one. I can't remember another iMac that just made me think, there is a machine you do not spend $599 for at Best Buy.
Right. And I really think we're looking at a TV with, you know, when you put a Visa mount in it, when you have inputs, the thing that would have really put it over the top is if it had an HDMI in. You know, that would be the final little bit.
It has the mini DisplayPort in, right? Is that?
It does, but it would be hard to get from HDMI to that mini
display. Oh, it is.
I think you can go from mini display to HDMI. I don't think you can go.
But not the other way.
I think the other way is more difficult. But I will say that if you're looking at iTunes, if you're looking at streaming, via iTunes, if you're looking at, you know, iTunes going after the Roku, for instance, you're looking at taking in stock of all the things that Apple learned doing Apple TV and then just incorporating it into the TV. You know, and I think I still think that's going to be a big piece of what Apple is working on as they try to go into the living room. I wouldn't be surprised to see a 42-inch iMac.
I mean, they better pack it well. 42 inches.
No, it's your home TV, and it also has a wireless keyboard, and you can...
Exactly what Jason said a year ago. Jason Calacanis said this was his big rumor that there was going to be a 42-inch basically TV set sold by Apple. That makes sense. Make it an iMac.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's one of the things I was thinking about when I saw that display port and found out how difficult it would be to use the iMac screen as a dedicated monitor for something else. I have no trouble imagining Apple using that display port in the same way that they use the dock connector, that they'll license out to certain video manufacturers and certain home theater manufacturers the ability to manufacture a box that will work over Bluetooth or work wirelessly that could put that could get to that screen directly for highest quality 1080i output, but also be essentially an appliance for the iMac.
I think that when you're looking at, like, what I'm looking at in my house is being able to have my, you know, my Drobo hooked up to my Mac Mini somewhere off in the corner, and I have but I have my iMac, you know, hanging from the wall, you know, in my office, and I'm able to access my entire library of movies and music and everything else, you know, from there. And it's just a whole different experience, you know. I mean, I think that's the, you know, for me, and especially as you look at things like YouTube now releasing a 1080p, you know, streaming service. I mean, so as YouTube does 1080p,
yeah.
Now I want to have that, you know, on something like that, and I need a computer to do it.
We're so rapidly moving to this convergence that took so long to get here and is now going to happen overnight practically. I mean, you were just about to say the word Roku, Andy. There's a good example. Put that kind of capability, which I think the Yahoo widgets are close, right?
They're close.
Yeah. I mean, we're on Roku now, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yay. In fact, some of you might be watching this on your big screen TV on your Roku.
Love that.
That launched yesterday.
I saw it.
Yeah, very exciting.
Does anyone need to do anything with their Roku to update it?
You'll see a firmware update available to you.
And then you just run that.
Do the firmware update, and then you should have access to this new Roku application store.
Right.
And we're in it. Revision 3 is in it. Mediafly is in it. You can get any video podcast if you get the Mediafly application.
Right.
But we're launching with MacBreak Weekly, This Week in Tech, This Week in Fun, This Week in Google, and Windows Weekly, the first five shows, but then all of our shows will be there eventually. And for those who say, well, what about iTunes? What about my Apple TV? Yes, of course, we're going to do iTunes versions as well.
Right.
In fact, at the same time, I'll have to look into this. I no longer know everything about my business. I used to.
Well done. Well done.
I got to the
you
point
know you're
now.
Going, you're doing the right thing.
Where I have no clue what's going on. But it's my understanding that
there are people.
There are people doing this right now as we speak. Hey.
I predict that you're only 13 months away from your major communication with your staff being, Stella, I pay you people to screen these calls.
I already said that. I said that this morning.
All right.
Said, if you can't do it, I'll find somebody who can. I've been dying to say that. We're gonna take a break and come back. The good news, of course, if your 27 comes DOA, Apple is really good about instant replacements. Yeah, I saw somebody on Twitter saying, I called AppleCare yesterday to say my keyboard's dead, got a new one this morning, and that's pretty common.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure that they're responding very quickly to this, unless you've been smoking. We'll talk about that in a second. But right now, I want to mention our friends at Citrix who do that great product, GoToMeeting. If you go to gotomeeting.com/MacBreak right now, you can sign up for 30 days free. I don't have to tell you, Alex, you travel all the time. That's not cheap. It's expensive. And if you're going just for meetings, you have to go because you have to bring cameras. You have to shoot. But if you're going just for meetings, we sent Dane to New York over the weekend, and I just got the bill. I said, you can be replaced. No, I didn't say that. I said, next time, let's do GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting lets you do more, save more, and travel less.
Well, you're just going to have a lot more conversations when you do it.
I think that's the other thing. You use it. Meetings. Yeah, you use it more, and you meet more than you would otherwise.
Exactly. And being able to show your screen, share your screen, makes a huge difference in a lot of the meetings that you thought you had to go to, and now you can simply have everybody log on. It's just far more efficient. It's not just, you just do it more often.
Right. Let me give you a free trial, and this is the easiest way to test it. Try it right now. Get it. While we're talking, you can install it. It's that easy. Mac or Windows. GoToMeeting.com/MacBreak. You'll have it installed in a couple of minutes. This will cost you nothing. You've got unlimited meetings for a month. Then it's $49 a month for unlimited meetings as long as you want, as often as you want, including voice over the internet and free teleconferencing. It's all built in. GoToMeeting.com/MacBreak. Please do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Give it a try today. One of our chatters is mentioning, and I should have made this clear, GPU acceleration for Flash 10.1 is only available on Windows. They didn't put it on the Macintosh.
I really think that there is a collision.
It's anti-Apple.
I think there's a collision coming between Apple
Absolutely.
And Adobe.
Absolutely. That is a shot across the bow. That's a way of saying, I mean, they're Intel chips, ATI and NVIDIA graphics processors.
Right.
There's no reason in the world. Right. They say Apple didn't give us the information we need. It's like a.
Well, I think that there's. I really think that there's an issue. I think that Adobe, if they're not worried about the fact that the iPhone and any future stuff isn't supporting Flash, they should be. And I think that also, you know, there is a risk for Adobe related to their Pro apps. You know, I mean, I think that Apple could.
There's always been that rumor that Apple has its Photoshop in the lab.
I can't imagine that they wouldn't. I don't think that the problem is that releasing something like that would cause a lot of, you know, trouble. So I think that you want to have it there. But I think that the other thing is, I think that Photoshop.
Ryan Shroud, who does our PC show, says it's Apple. It's not Adobe. He says there's no reason Adobe. Ryan is being a little naive, I think. There's no reason Adobe wouldn't want Flash to be accelerated on the Mac. Apple's just not giving them the information. I think you might be underestimating, Ryan, the animosity between these two companies because Apple never did allow Flash on the iPhone.
Right.
Apple's clearly, they've always had an edgy relationship.
Right.
Because Apple needs Adobe.
For now.
And remember what happened.
I mean, there's a lot of this is also coming from the fact that, you know, a long time ago when things were really cozy, Apple didn't have Final Cut Pro Studio. Apple didn't have
There was Adobe Premiere, and the minute Adobe pulled Premiere from the Mac platform,
it wasn't Premiere, it was Avid.
When Avid
announced, you know, Apple was really interested in trying to. I mean, this is the rumor. I don't know for sure, but that Apple was really trying to get someone to base an editing package on QuickTime, and so Final Cut they picked up Final Cut from Macromedia, actually. They were working on it. And it really, what I had heard when Apple released it is it was like a little editing app. It wasn't really designed to be this, what it's become. But when Avid announced that they were going to let go of the Mac platform, Apple, you know, their focus changed a little bit.
I think the way you told it last time was Steve Jobs came storming into the room saying, how can we screw it?
I do not remember saying that. I did not say it in public. I cannot confirm.
What is it we could do? Oh, I know. I mean, look,
there is a rumor that that there were people in Apple or high up that were fairly
incensed,
perturbed. It was not probably one of the better ideas that Avid had, because it really created a. What I know as a result was where I worked, everybody, all the editors got Macs, and
Final Cut.
And they were asked, like, what do we need to add?
Frankly, I mean, Avid's still around, but it's not the powerhouse it was.
No, I mean, Final Cut has become, you know, I feel like Apple hasn't pressed the Final Cut Studio the way it was getting pressed in the earlier days. I think partially because the product is somewhat mature, but it has really become the de facto editor, you know, for many, many people. I mean, you when you hear someone's doing an Avid, you kind of feel like they're going, you're like, Or if they're using Premiere, you just assume they're on a PC. You know, you don't, on a Mac, it's, you know, Final Cut has become kind of the de facto.
So a great series of comments in IT Blog Watch, Richie Jennings' column in Computer World, in which he synopsizes the various blogs talking about Apple Care and smoking. Starts with Cade Metz, who says, a Mac user claims Apple voided her warranty and refused to repair her machine because it was, quote, contaminated with cigarette smoke. An Apple service center had agreed to repair the machine before telling the owner repairs were not possible because the system contained some sort of smoke residue. And there apparently there's one other person complaining the same thing. Laura Northrup responds, you know smoking isn't good for your, it's not good for your computer either. Somebody who responds on Slashdot says, I used to work as a computer technician, and I've seen this too, by the way. Computers that had either failed or seized up due to nicotine and tar buildup were nearly impossible to clean or repair. And I have seen the inside of a computer where a heavy smoker used it. And
it, mess.
It's pretty bad. David Corsi says, I'm as much against smoking as anyone. I also don't want workers to needlessly exposed to hazardous substances. Still, for Apple to deny warranty claims on Macs exposed to cigarette smoke seems way over the line.
Yeah. When you think about all the junk that's used to prepare those circuit boards, to do the assembly manufacturer, all the carcinogens that are technically on a certain list of things that will cause your nose to fall off. And to say that, you know, this thing was in the house of someone who was smoking, I don't know. Well, let's have one little caveat. If it's someone who's a smoker and plays Warcraft, I'll side with Apple here. Because you know that they've been spending 10 hours a day doing nothing but staring dully at that screen, puffing smoke into the innards.
But I don't
want to look inside that.
Gotta go fishing.
But here's the question is that would we consider that a problem if someone was in a very smoky environment? And, you know, the computer, I mean, I think most of us would assume that you don't have to cover warranty if someone spilled water on it. Someone was in a very smoky environment, not,
well, what
not
if, what if a, I've seen a computer that was in a fire, wasn't damaged by the fire, but is useless because the smoke from the fire ruined it.
Right. Or if you're in an environment that has a lot of particulate in the air, yeah. I don't know if Apple would necessarily say that, you know, regardless of whether it's a smoker or not. If there's a lot of particulate in the air and it's filling it up, I wouldn't expect Apple to cover that. I guess
FTW says in our chat room that Apple has far more weed smokers than PCs. What about that?
You know, I don't think weed really produces much smoke.
Weed smoker residue.
I don't know.
Have you been using your Mac as a bong?
We just like to answer just one question before you authorize this warrant coverage. Have you ever really looked at your fingers? I mean, really looked at your fingers. And if they don't say, oh, what the hell you're talking about, then, you know, they're a weed smoker.
Yeah.
But the thing that makes this into a what the hell story is that they're not saying that there's you damage your computer by blowing too much cigarette smoke in there. They're not even saying that you have no idea how bad your computer smells because of all the computer smoke. It'll stink. It'll funk up the entire back room for as long as we have it, and for that reason, we'd rather not have it. They're saying that it represents a health hazard to our IT workers, and as such, we're not going to force our workers to expose themselves needlessly to workplace whatever. And that's not a reason. That's doublespeak.
Yeah. I think this... unfortunately, it's two people. You don't know. It's hard to validate that this really happened.
Right.
I find this hard to believe that Apple would actually
say
this. They might think it.
They might send it back and say we can't fix it.
But there's no way they're going to void warranty because you smoke too much. I'm sorry. That's just not possible.
It's possible. Not probably.
Well, yeah.
You're the guy who drinks a venti, triple venti, quad mocha not with anymore. A twist Californian.
I used to. I gave that up.
And smoke. We don't smoke.
Yes.
No smoking here.
If I spilled my venti on the computer, I would not expect Apple to fix it.
No, that's a good point. It doesn't explicitly say in the warranty, no, we, you know, we void this warranty for heavy coffee pouring in the computer.
No, you know, I think that there are rumors that the new laptops do have something in the board that if it gets wet, it changes color.
Yeah.
I know many cell phones, I could probably have all cell phones do that.
Yeah.
Because people would, you know, they bend over, their cell phone falls in the toilet, and then they say, oh, I don't know. They dry it out, and they say, I don't know. It's
By the way, just as an update, you know, I talked about my iPhone that went into the, I Twittered about my iPhone that went into the wash.
Mm-hmm.
Full cycle.
Spin dry?
I did not put it in the dryer. I pulled it when I was putting stuff into the dryer. This big clunk went in. I was like, what did I leave in my pocket? And I was like,
But it went through a spin cycle, though, in the washer, right?
Oh, yeah. Went full spin cycle in the washer.
That's heavy G's.
Okay. So it was submerged for, you know, 25 minutes, you know, rinsed, re-rinsed. It was a warm cycle. It was right before I went to Brazil. I just bought a new phone. I was like, I can't have it not working,
right,
you know, when I'm in Brazil. And I gave it to Tony, who's at the office, and he put it in a bag of rice. And yep, he's now using it.
Oh, Tony's smart.
I was going to say it. I once did it. As a matter of fact, if you search YouTube for some logical keywords, you'll probably see. I did a segment on a column and then a segment on the CBS Morning Show about testing urban legends on how to salvage laundered or wet cell phones. The number one best thing is if you have a cat, you get the fresh the kitty litter. That's the fresh step crystals, not the clay, but the crystals.
Okay,
because it's 100% pure silica gel. It's designed to do nothing but absorb moisture.
Oh.
Get a sealed Tupperware container. Put the wet phone inside there with the crystals. Seal it up so that's sucking all the moisture out of the phone and not the environment. And after a day, you have a very good shot of it being perfectly good. If you don't have that handy, then definitely use the rice because the rice does the same thing. It'll just absorb water like anything. The only modification I ever made to that conclusion was somebody told me that I'm surprised you didn't say before you even try that, put like the drapery nozzle of your vacuum cleaner against it and just hold it against any open port on that thing for a good minute or two to get the majority of the moisture out there. It's salvageable, unfortunately, because of those color changing dots. That's a better course of action than saying, I don't know, it just stopped working.
Right? Yeah. Can you use those packets from the hard drive? Did you say that? Can you use those? Like
Yeah, enough of them.
Those silica gel things? Or is that not enough?
By the time you get enough of those packets together, that's how much time it would take you to go to the supermarket, buy a bag of those crystals.
My kitty litter.
I'm serious. It's like $6 for enough of a bag that you could rescue yourself.
But what do you do with the clay? Is it include clay or is it like this is a separate fresh step add-on?
It's a special type that they use. It's nothing but silica crystals. There's no clay, no nothing. It's like beautiful little like crystals of, you know, white and blue and green majesty that you think, congratulations, crystals, you were going to be soaked in cat urine. Now you're going to be simply soaked in laundered water.
They must be very happy about that.
They're happy crystals.
Happy,
whatever. Like, they had no reason to hope, but they won the lottery.
All right, my Magic Mouse review, ladies and gentlemen. Look at when I move my finger, when I move, you move. When I move, you move. Here, you play with it. So Apple has you have to bond it. First of all, here's something that's a little surprising. First time this ever happened to me with an Apple product, you have to download a driver. You have to download a driver. You have to download the Magic Mouse driver.
All right.
And then it's Bluetooth, so you have to, you know, attach, bond, say hello. I believe it's Bluetooth. Is it? Yeah, it's Bluetooth. And then it's funny, you know, Apple has just like this love-hate relationship with mice. It has the same problem that the Mighty Mouse has, which is that in order to right-click, you have to lift your left finger. You know, because it's not mechanical. It's got mechanical click,
right. But
it's the whole thing clicks. I have to say, feel that in your hand. Does that feel comfortable? It's not a comfortable mouse.
No.
It doesn't have the curves that even a cheap Microsoft mouse has.
I don't even need to connect to my computer. I just wouldn't use
it. You could tell.
It would drive me crazy.
It's a little bit of a soap bar.
Yeah.
Now you're moving my mouse. Now go ahead. Just move my mouse. He's moving my mouse. Here you can look at it over there. Yeah. if you stroke the top of it just lovingly with your finger, that scrolls. And you know that's not so bad. Although we have scroll wheels on.
You know, I have to admit that is the one thing that I do use a lot on my trackpad. Is this?
Yeah. If you swipe side to side, it scrolls sideways, and you could do browse through things. Yeah, you're browsing through stuff. I'll tell you what I'm surprised it doesn't have pinch.
I was trying to pinch it.
It doesn't have pinch. It doesn't have rotate. It only has a few gestures. I'll show you the gestures it has. Give me back my mouse. You can go to the control panel and get, because once you've installed the new Magic Mouse software. Now, I hear silence from Bastin. So that tells me that Bastin might have another opinion. But so here it is. You've got the right click.
Hey, the little video's cute.
Yeah, well, this is the new, you know, system preference made for all mice. See, there's the scroll. I hope that's a woman's fingers because I'm kind of thinking how hot she is, and if it's a guy, I'm going to really peel back.
Okay. I bet you those videos were really expensive too.
Did I go too far, Andy?
No. I just imagine again Alex with all of his resources and tools, thinking, you know what? That's a woman hand doing things that are interesting to an object. I wonder if it'd be funny if she were doing that to a different object.
Oh, let's not do that, Alex. You could though. Somebody will, no doubt, a mashup, a system preference mashup. So you've got.
Swipe me.
The screen zoom is the same thing as you've always had, which is scroll with the control held down. And then the only gesture really that's you know, is this two swipe left, right, navigate thing with two fingers. I'm surprised.
If it was more rounded, I'd be more interested. If it was more ergonomic.
Comfy.
But there's not.
It's not comfy. Now, notice there's the mouse battery level here is 91%. It's got two batteries in it. I think they're double or triple A. Let me look. No, they're double A batteries in it. And I still have Scungeli on it because the way it was packed, they had a sticker on it, which left behind residue on the bottom of the mouse, which I really find surprising from Apple. So two very non-Apple-y things in here. One, the packaging leaves goo on my mouse, and two, you have to download a driver. What do they think they are, Microsoft? So anyway, it's not bad. It's better than the Mighty Mouse was. It's much better than the iMac mouse was. But Apple still seems, for some reason, for all their brilliant industrial design.
Well, I think that they're obsessed with trying to make the next great thing, and they just haven't quite figured it out.
It's funny that they can't lick the mouse. They've done so many great design. For instance, try to get this battery lid back on for me because it is okay. Andy, obviously, you've played with it by now.
Believe it or not, I have not played with it outside of just visiting the Apple store. I haven't gotten around to calling my people at Apple and saying, can I have these mouses?
That's how I got it. I didn't want to spend $65 on it. Apple sent me a note saying, would you like to try the Magic Mouse?
And now they wish they hadn't.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
Now they're like,
I point you toward these previous episodes of Mac Break Weekly, in which I've said that anything that's not a very, very simple two-button Microsoft mouse, I'm probably not going to like. Based on that, and knowing that I occasionally get the eyeballs of 5 million people on the course of a month, please send me product in order to take a look at it.
I didn't ask them, but they just offered it, and I said, well, all right, go ahead, because I knew I wasn't going to like it, and I couldn't bring myself to spend $65, but I guess what I should do now is pack it up and send it back. Now, having tried it, you know, it's not a deadpan. It's not like this thing is horrible, as which is what I said about the Mighty Mouse. I think for some people, you might like it. I mean, certainly beautiful on the desktop. With a 27-inch, that just... And that, clearly, that's Apple's, you know, kind of what they care about is how it looks on the desktop.
And I have to admit, I don't mind the Mighty Mouse now that I've used it a lot, except that I turn off all the stuff on the side. Those
that
side
little
things.
Ball, I'm sorry. A scroll wheel is so much better than a little ball.
Yeah,
I kind of like going back and forth, though. I use the back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can do that with Logitech's Anywhere mouse. You can tilt the scroll wheel left, right, and it does that.
I like the back and forth. What I really hate about the Mighty Mouse is the two little side ones that turn expose on or whatever.
Every time.
I just go up there. Let's ignore those. Let's just pretend those don't exist.
Now, by the way, you got the lid back on. Thank you. Was that hard to do?
No.
Well, it's good we got a second opinion because...
It was easy.
It literally took me like 20 minutes the first time.
No.
And then I just had you do it the second time.
I just popped it right on.
I'm never taking it off again. And by the way, it's now lost. For some reason, it lost the mouse. I don't know why. It's on. So let me turn it off and turn it on. There it is. It found it. Okay. So I had to turn it off and on again. I'm not crazy about Bluetooth either. I like to stick with wired.
I just don't like it constantly telling me, you're out of range. You're out of range.
Right. Or batteries die.
Yeah.
It's really bad for on air. That's where I learned my hatred of wireless is at the beginning in screensavers, we had all wireless because we didn't want to have all those wires around. In the middle of a show, we're doing a live show. Yeah. The keyboard dies. That's great.
Live.
I mean, that's not a good. So I just said, can we have wired from now on? Let's not. Well, it found the mouse, but now it's still searching. See that? This is why I don't like wireless. I'm sorry. Why is it searching? It's right here. It's right next to you. Look!
Put it in front of the camera. There you go. Right
Take a picture.
Make sure that they're looking at each other. Make sure they're looking at each other.
What do you do? So it's searching. And like, what? I'm not the only one, Shirley, who takes the mouse and waves it around, hoping it will see it.
I am? The
yeah,
only one?
Yeah, you're the only one. I usually just, I go back to work and just come back like 10 minutes later.
I think
just
that's what I should do.
Hope it's found it.
Locking.
It says found, but now it still says searching.
Can you just hit continue?
Lucky I have another mouse connected.
He's not searching anymore. It's now connecting.
It's connecting. This is why. Okay, enough said.
How about those new Apple ads?
What new Apple ads? Oh, the ones about AT&T?
Yeah.
Defending AT&T's coverage map? Oh, good, it's back. I can now go to the new Apple ads. Thank you. Scroll.
It's somewhere in there.
Scroll. All right. Where are the new Apple ads?
They're on the list.
They're on the list? Okay, let me click. This is what happens when your mouse goes down. You're kind of, you feel
we can
like.
We can talk about SciStar while we're waiting for that click to come up. We didn't talk about that last week, did we?
Yeah, we did. Didn't we? See, I get confused because I talked about it on Twitter.
We keep on talking about it.
The court case, they lost big time.
Yeah.
Anything else to say? Did they go out of business?
No.
What'd they do?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Are they all done now?
Did they say they fought to survive?
I'm sorry, someone on Twitter reminded me that we hadn't talked about the SciStar decision last week, and I couldn't remember having talked about it.
Well, it could be that my problem is I do too many shows. I know I've talked about it. I don't know where.
It could be the reason that this isn't exactly Diet Coke hiding inside this mug. It's a different can entirely, and perhaps I should stop laying off this daddy's little medicine just before showtime. Starting next week. This week. I've already opened it.
It's too late now. Might as well drink it. Would be a shame to waste it.
I want Leo to see you, so I'll hide you inside my tummy.
Let's take a break. I do want to talk a little bit about the App Store. Paul Graham, who I think is really brilliant, wrote an essay about how badly broken the App Store approval process is. He says he calls it Apple's mistake. And I'd like to run it by you. I think Paul's really good. Have you read any of Paul Graham's stuff?
Yes, he's brilliant.
He's the guy who wrote the plan for spam that suggested Bayesian anti-spam filtering, which has been the single best way to fight spam ever since. He's written a number of really good books. Hackers and Painters is brilliant. He started the venture kind of angel funding company called they do that Hacker News. What's the name of it? Well, it'll come to me. Anyway, we'll talk about what Paul Graham said in his blog, paulgraham.com, in just a little bit. I need to turn on the secondary click. We'll also talk about Rogue Amoeba and what they're saying about the App Store process. But right now, I would like to mention our friends at Ford. Have you driven the car yet?
I haven't driven the car.
I've been in the car. I could put you in there.
I'm going to have to.
Dvorak took it on Sunday. I'm doing a commercial. I'm doing a commercial. John says, "Let me drive the car." So I gave him the key, and he went up and down the street. Really liked it. But we're not doing an ad for the car. We're doing an ad for what's in the car, which is Ford Sync, the hands-free calling, music search, turn-by-turn navigation available exclusively. And I know a number of people said, well, can I get a third party? No, you got to get a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury vehicle. Sorry. But you can find out more about it by going to Sync, S-Y-N-C, My Ride podcast.com.
Have you changed the picture in there? You put the twit.
I put the twit logo in there.
That's so cool. It's so cool that you put a logo, your own logo, on the video screen in a car.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Now, that's not in all Ford Sync vehicles. I have kind of Sync, plus I got the GPS electronics package. This is the beauty of Ford Sync. You don't have to spend the extra money on the I shouldn't say this. Ford may not like it, but you don't have to buy that big screen. With Ford Sync, you've got turn-by-turn directions even without the screen. Now, it has an LED screen, but the turn-by-turn talks you through it. So you say, you press the button on the steering wheel. You never take your eyes off the road. And this is kind of what I like about it. You never take your hands off the steering wheel. You would press it, and you say, navigation, directions home, and it will talk you home. You don't need the screen.
I don't want someone to talk. I want the map.
You're just old-fashioned that way.
Mostly like, navigation, get me out of here.
It is. It's just like that.
Back roads.
It'll do that, by the way. You can say, remember this route, and then it will tell you what the traffic is, and it'll reroute you. Mm-hmm. It's got weather forecast, traffic, sports scores. It updates all this stuff. I think, you know, it's based on Microsoft technology. I bet it's the Microsoft Spot stuff. I'm not sure, but I bet it is. You know that Spot watch that they were doing for a while?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's wireless. Data is coming in there. Calls 911 if the airbags are deployed. I mean, this thing is amazing. I want you to take a look at it online.
That would have been useful.
Have you ever had your airbags deployed?
I saw someone with here in Petaluma. I was helping someone with their airbags
deployed. Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, it's hit and run.
So, oh, that's sad.
Everyone was okay.
Oh, man. Well, so, okay, so I don't want that to happen. But, you know, as soon as I get in the car, I think you have 25 different phones. I've got both my Droid and my Apple phone. My iPhone are both immediately connected to Bluetooth. If the airbag should deploy, it makes a 911 call. It plays a recorded message saying airbags have been deployed. We're going to send you GPS coordinates. Takes the GPS coordinates from the iPhone, nice. Sends that to 911. It's the regional 911, by the way. So you're going directly to a local 911. Sends them the coordinates, and then, by the way, you can override this if you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gives you voice control, and the 911 dispatcher can say, "Are you all right?"
Right.
And hear if you're there.
Right.
And if not, then you're lucky you have this 911. There's vehicle health reports. You'd love the vehicle health reports. It'll send them to you every... I have it set every 5,000 miles to send me a vehicle health report. I just love this. I am a big fan. I want
control over the air fuel mixture.
We can arrange that. Not with Sync, though. Why don't you go to SyncMyRidePodcast.com right now. Take a look. You could see some of the features of the Ford Sync, but you can also tweet to win. They're giving away 15 iPods and Zunes between now and December 8th. All you have to do is put pound Sync My Ride Podcast in a tweet. You might tweet something like, Alex, Andy, and Leo are off the hook in Mac Break Weekly this week. Pound Sync My Ride Podcast. And then that way you'd be in the drawing. And one a day from now through December 8th. And I know we have had several winners who are listeners because they've sent me email. So I want it to be you next. SyncMyRidePodcast.com. We thank Ford so much for their support of all of the Twitch shows. It was a little Christmas present from Ford. But I didn't get a deal on the car.
Nope. He paid retail.
I tried to get a deal. I'm not saying I didn't try. I said, you got a friends and family, anything? They said, well, we'll get back to you. And I said, I just need it now. I want to try it before I talk about it, and I'm glad I did. So, what were we going to talk about before the break?
Ads,
the new ads, Droid. The new Apple ads. Are they on Apple's website? If I go to apple.com?
They were on a CNET. If you go through the
Apple Droid commercial, I see it right here. Let me just find this. Best Droid commercial ever? No. New Droid commercial. Verizon Droid. Apple ads to Verizon. Can Droid do this? Ah, so they're kind of like the we've got an app for that in reverse, right? I hate they put an ad before the ad. That's ridiculous. Okay, here we go. This is the iPhone ad. Did you see my email? It's called.
Say you're on a call with a client, and he asks, "Did you see my email?" You can say, "Yep, got it right here." Or if you're chatting with a buddy and he says, "Hey, can you change that reservation?" You can say, "Sure." Or you're talking to your wife who says,
"I can't believe our anniversary is a week away."
Wait a minute, can't I do that on my Droid?
Me neither.
I'm only at the same time.
All without ever leaving the call. Can your phone and your network do that?
Oh, I see. You're saying on the Verizon network, I can't do data while I'm on a phone call.
I think you can't do both at the same time.
I think you're right.
Let's Which is an incredibly useful part of the iPhone that I didn't, you know, took me.
But
a
that's
I,
not
I
the
scared.
iPhone.
I'm scared to walk away.
That's AT&T's network as opposed to that's the way AT&T does it. Is that right, Andy? Do you know?
I had to double check that because I know that you can take a phone call within certain Droid apps. That's one of the things that Google is very, very proud of with their Google Maps navigation application, that you can take phone calls without having to dump from the navigation.
Alex, do you have your phone here? Can I call you? I'm going to call Alex. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have your phone number. How could I not have your phone number? Oh, I know why, because you don't answer your phone ever. You say, don't talk to me. Email me. All right, I'm going to call. No, I'm going to call the office number. Give it up. Here. Let me call the office number.
Just call. Here. Give me a phone.
No, it's okay. I got it. 7. You know our office number is ends in TWIT. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Okay. So now I'm calling the office. Let me put it on the speakerphone.
Depends on who answers the phone. Hey, look at what I did there.
Hi, Frederic. This is Leo. We're just doing a test on the show. Is that okay?
Okay.
Yeah, this is Leo. It's me. I'm in here.
Oh my God.
She said, "Who? Do I know you? Okay, now
Leo,
I just want
to be on the show.
I just
right
want to see Frederic if I can now go to a data and look. Let's look at my calendar. Am I still on the phone with you, Frederic?
Yeah.
I'm looking at my calendar. How could that possibly be? Apple said I couldn't do this.
Or you go to other apps.
What other apps? What other app do you want me to go to? Pick an app.
Go to the web.
How about Google Maps? How about Google Maps? Are you still there? Yeah, okay, wait a minute. I'm downloading my map. I mean, that's just Google Maps. So you're saying if I go browse, let's go browse. You still there, Frederic?
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
No, I'm browsing right now. I got Google on there.
Try just to be safe, try a third-party app, because all the ones that were in Apple's demo were third-party apps.
Okay, so third-party app. Pandora. That's a third-party app.
Oh, that might be mute music.
Gotta mute the music. Brightkite. Okay, good. Let's see if I can do Brightkite. Brightkite, it's going on the internet. You still there, Frederic?
I am still here.
Yeah, she's still there. Finding you, Bright Kite. Pick a place. Let's go. As far as I can tell, it's working. So what was it they said? Oh, check my email. They said you can't check your email. Oh, let's check my email. Yeah, I'm checking my email. This ad is full of it. Excuse me.
Well, what network are you on?
I'm on Verizon's network.
Did you turn off Wi-Fi?
Oh. You think I'm on Wi-Fi, eh?
Maybe it's using the Wi-Fi network for data, and it's using the voice network for voice.
I didn't think of that. Let me. I can't tell if I'm on Wi-Fi because I've run out of icons on the roof. Let's see. Let's turn off. All the icons are on the top there. You know what I'm saying, don't you? On the roof.
I like that. I've got too many icons on the roof. That's a problem that I have with
on my roof.
Now, the one thing to say is that...
Okay, I've turned off Wi-Fi. I'm going to turn off Bluetooth just to be safe. You still there, Frederic?
I'm still there.
Poor Frederic. It's okay.
And the other thing to notice is that Apple doesn't mention the Droid, so it's
This is called fudge words. Okay, I'm still surfing. Let's see. Let's go look at Google. Oh! Up. No network connection. Browser cannot load this page. You were right, Andy. Thank you. But that's a few fudge words that Apple probably should add.
Well, they're not comparing it to anything. They're just saying,
do
that?
No, you're right. I cannot. Okay, so that's what it was. I was on Wi-Fi, so I can't use the 3G network while I'm on a phone call. Thank you, Frederic. Okay, I don't know how to hang up now.
So that's the insinuation.
Yeah, and actually, you know, this is a well-known problem with EVDO.
Right.
Is one that you can't do phone and data at the same time.
You have to choose.
Okay. So now we know that it should say,
Never mentions anything.
They're very clever.
They don't mention the
otherwise
they'd
have to be fine print that says, you know.
Yeah, but they don't say anything. They just say, can it do it? They inject.
Can you do that on your phone?
Can you?
But I have to say, as somebody who uses a Droid, I didn't even know whether I could do that on my phone.
Right.
So I don't know how effective this ad is.
But I have to admit I use that feature a lot on my iPhone. Like really quickly on a Droid if I had.
I'll give them that.
And it does, and to their credit, I think it's better to have a standalone app. Excuse me, standalone ad that simply says, here's a feature that our phone has that we're very, very proud of, as opposed to, no, don't look at the other one. Pay no attention to the other one. Pay attention to ours instead. And I've always really liked the way that Apple handled phone calls in progress while you're doing something else. The idea that you have that green bar at the top that you simply tap there to go back to focusing on the phone software.
Okay, so, and as a couple of people have said in our friend feed chat room, if that's a feature you need... The ability to access the internet while you're on a phone call, Apple's right. That's a feature that Verizon cannot give you. That's a Verizon feature, not an Android feature or lack thereof.
Which will be hard to
fix.
Which also makes it interesting to think about whether Apple would be interested in going to, especially after you run these ads, whether Apple would be interested in a Verizon solution until Verizon has a new network.
Hey, what happens? Now here's a question. What happens if I'm, say, streaming video on Twit Live, which we can do on this Droid phone? I'm streaming our live video.
You can't get a phone call.
No phone calls can come in?
No phone calls.
That's a bad thing. So it can't interrupt it.
I don't think so.
But it is network specific. Andrew Smith saying in Canada on the Rogers network, no problem.
Right. So it's the EVDO.
It's EVDO. It's a limitation of EVDO. And so, I wonder... If you're using data, I believe your calls just go to voicemail, says Ken Shepherdson. See, that is a negative. Okay, I'll buy that. They, even though they don't mention Droid or Verizon.
The uppercut lands.
The uppercut lands, if you know it lands. But see, that's the problem. I think a lot of users don't know. I didn't know. I mean, I dimly remember reading that. But it hadn't come up for me.
Apple managed to yank down Verizon's ponytail. The ref didn't see it. They didn't get carded for it, so okay.
Apple gets a wedgie. Exactly. Hey, here's some news for the Kindle folks. It's not strictly Apple news, but I think very good news. Kindle firmware update is coming out. Kind of an early Christmas present from Amazon, which will support PDFs natively.
This is for the standard Kindle.
The Kindle 2, not the big DX.
Yeah. That was an important thing for them to do because Sony Reader already supports direct PDF. I imagine that's going to have the same sort of solution that Sony does, which is to not try to reproduce the PDF exactly, but to simply display the content in a way that will fit onto that screen. So that's definitely going to be a disadvantage compared to the Kindle DX, which can show the entire width of the page and just let you treat it like electronic paper. I'm also curious to see exactly how long it's going to take this new firmware update to process each page, because what I know of the processor that's inside the Kindle 2, it hasn't been optimized or chosen to do that kind of math. And there's a lot of math involved in rendering a PDF.
So there's a different processor in the DX. It's smarter.
It's faster. One of the things that they were very proud of when they introduced it was that it's a faster, it's a faster book reader. Doing searches and stuff like that will be a lot faster, although it's not a computer, so it's not designed to be a speed machine. But it really does show you how competitive the book reader market is going to be in 2010. There's going to be at least four different readers out there, each of which came to fight.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great time for consumers.
I, if you want an ebook reader, for sure. You've got Kindle, you've got Sony, you've got the Barnes & Noble Nook. What's the other one?
There's Acer is coming out with one. Asus is also coming out with one.
And Apple, who knows?
It's fantastic because now there's no need for an iTunes store like model, because Adobe has already won the battle, so to speak, to control who gets to sell books. They came out with there's an open format called EPUB that everybody is getting behind, including Sony, including all these commercial factions. Adobe has created a DRM that everybody else seems to be getting behind, and it also. One of the reasons why EPUB is such a great format is because it doesn't care what it contains. It just wants to be a standardized container.
Right.
So Adobe was able to create a DRM that would fit inside EPUB so that so long it doesn't matter where you buy this book from, so long as it supports this Adobe Digital Editions DRM, it'll work just fine. And there are multiple stores right now that support that format. Also, the book publishers are smart enough to have learned from the mistakes that the record companies made when they made their deals with iTunes. They do not want to help create that kind of a monster for publishing, where they have to negotiate with this one centralized iTunes-like publisher every time they want to control what they sell their books for. So they are very much interested in making sure that if they have 100,000 titles in their personal licensable library, they want to make sure that they can sell that to Barnes & Noble, they can sell that to Amazon, they can sell that to Apple, and they can simply take money from whoever's willing to sell content through their store.
Well, and one thing to be fair to Apple is I don't think that any of us, Apple benefited from the fact that Fair Play was involved, but Apple did not want a DRM when they started. That was the music industry's idea. It was a bad idea, and they paid a deep price for it because they're idiots. But it wasn't Apple's idea to do that. It was their idea to do that.
That's absolutely true. But the publishers are responding to the situation that Apple accidentally created and the troubles that the record industry found themselves in by that's their just rewards for not listening to Apple for so many years. Yeah. But it really does show that's the publishing industry's desire to make sure that you can publish it once, sell it through as many venues as possible. Mm-hmm. And if you want to start paying absolute cover price for the latest hot book, they want the ability to do that and take the risks themselves.
I'm corrected by the chat room. That says that the iPhone, if you're watching data, not the iPhone, the Droid, if you're watching data, will ring.
Okay. But then it'll kick you off, whatever you're doing.
If you answer, it will kick you off. So that's actually the right response, I think. So that's good news. Paul Graham, who now I remember, of course, it's Y Combinator or Y Combinator is his kind of, I guess it's an incubator for startups. Apple's mistake. This is on his blog, paulgraham.com/apple.html. I don't think Apple realizes how badly the App Store approval process is broken. Or rather, and I think this is the main point, I don't think they realize how much it matters that it's broken. The way Apple runs the App Store has harmed their reputation with programmers more than anything else they've ever done. Their reputation with programmers used to be great. It used to be the most common complaint you heard about Apple was that their fans admired them too uncritically. The App Store has changed that. Now a lot of programmers have started to see Apple as evil. And a big defection from the iPhone, Rogue Amoeba, which is Apple's, I think, one of Apple's best developers. They do Audio Hijack Pro. They do Airfoil for the iPhone, which is a really slick program that allows you to listen to iTunes music on other devices. They're complaining because they said 3 months ago, Airfoil was approved on the App Store. 3 months ago, we gave them a bug fix. It's 3 months later, Apple still hasn't approved a bug fix. And that's got to be frustrating for developers. It's one thing not to approve the app, but not to approve the bug fix.
I think the challenge is that they're, Apple is, when you try to have this much quality control or whatever they're working on, trying to make sure that everything's going to work just right, the issue that you get into is you become the bottleneck. And I think the problem is beyond
more than a bottleneck at this point. When you have 3 months for a well-known developer,
that's a bottleneck problem. There's other problems that Apple has.
Isn't that micromanaging? I mean, look, at 1.1, mm-hmm. how long does it take? Do you trust Rogue Amoeba? You oughta.
It is. I'm sure that it is strictly a case of way too many applications coming in for approval, and the fact that all of them have to go through the same pipe, and they have X number of people going through it. I mean, I think that there's just a level of...
Well, they need to address this then.
Absolutely. I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I'm saying that that's not I think that that's clearly a problem of, bottlenecking.
Right. Well, that makes sense. So if you address this, then...
It's how you do that.
Hire more people or whatever. Yeah.
But this is really starting to look like a problem that can only be solved by... There's such a consistent and long-standing set of problems associated with relationship between developers and Apple where the iTunes store is, where the iPhone is concerned, that it's really starting to look like there is one person in charge at Apple who doesn't get it, will never get it, will never appreciate the scale of his problem, who might be starting... policies that are impossible to implement or impractical for the solution, and this individual might need to find another place at the company, because if it were just a case of some things are being declined approval, even though there's really no reason to do that, that would be one thing. If it takes 6 or 7 to 8 months for something to be approved, that's another thing. But it's this third thing. There's a problem with there's an application called the OTourist. Side issue. Developers, come up with a name that can be pronounced and easily spelled. AUTUEURIST. That's a lot of Outourist. It's a writer's companion app. I'm not saying anything about the app. I'm just I can't pronounce it. But supposedly, and this is a unique problem. It got approved. Very good. It's available on the App Store. Excellent. Things are working fine. But people buy it and then they cannot download it. Okay, big problem. Bigger problem is that the author, who now has a posterist blog talking about its problems with Apple, he's having a problem just getting Apple to respond to an email saying, hi, people are buying my app, but they can't download it. I've got a lot of people who are very angry with me. And what is the problem? Where is there a fix? And when are you going to actually respond to any of these emails? This is one of those things that totally concerns me, that if as of November 2nd, he says on this posterous blog, it's day 19 and still no fix, and he still hasn't heard back. And if this is the sort of problem where it's not that there's a bottleneck, it's not that there is an inefficient process, that I'm sorry, we were unprepared for the wonderful success of the App Store. If this is the problem, there's a consistent difficulty here that Apple needs to make a very big, serious, consistent fix for.
The question is, and this actually is something that I think was pointed out actually in the IRC, which I think is a really good point, is have we ever seen an operating system that had 100,000 apps added to it in 16 months?
Yeah.
Ever. Ever.
No.
So, and this is part of the problem. I mean, this is the issue is that, we've never, ever, ever seen any platform get hit this hard, and part of it's because it's a popular outlet. Another part of it is that making apps is easy, you know, for the iPhone, much easier than a lot of other pieces. And to go from zero to, 1,000 or 100,000 in this case, in 16 months is a big jump. And I think that they're...
You're sounding like an apologist.
You know, I just... Yeah. I'm not willing to pile on. I think that Apple needs to figure out how to fix the bottleneck. But I don't necessarily think that that means opening the floodgates and letting everything in. I think that there's another side of that where we get a lot of crap that isn't working, that's breaking our phone, that makes it so that we can't call, that makes it so we can't do a lot. You know, there's a lot of things that could happen if we just open up the floodgates, and I'm not open to that either.
But let's acknowledge that it's very, very unusual for a company to say, we will give you free pancakes to anybody who comes to the store. If you say that, though, you need to be able to deliver free pancakes, which is what you promised. If you do not have the ability, then you should stop offering free pancakes. It's Apple had the choice of saying that we're going to have a totally open app store, or are we not? If we're not going to have a totally open app store...
But they never said that they were going to have a totally open app store.
I'm saying they didn't. I said that they have the. Okay. What I'm saying is that they have the ability to say we are not going to be the gatekeepers of software. We're going to take a. They could have taken like an Android model, which is going to say that we're going to have an official store which will have approved content on it, but developers will still have the ability to make software downloads available directly through their sites. That's not the decision that Apple made. Apple assumed voluntarily the responsibility.
No, I agree. In the case of Oturist, Serge has written an application. People have been charged for the application. Mm-hmm. Apple says you can only download it from us, and they're not responding 2+ weeks later when he says people aren't able to download it. So now everybody's screwed, people who buy it and the guy who wrote it, and Apple's not responsive. I definitely think
Apple has to massively beef up what they're doing and streamline what they're doing.
I think they need to man up and handle this now.
I will agree with that.
And let's go back to the original contention that Paul Graham makes, that this is damaging it's much more serious way than Apple seems to realize by alienating the most important people, the most important audience for Apple, which is independent software developers.
Yeah. And also realize that all these other operating systems and phones, they're making improvements. They're making some damn nice phones out there. I don't think right now the monetary impetus is to develop phones, develop software, is to abandon Apple. If you want the gold rush, you want to go to develop stuff for the iPhone. But that could change a year from now. That could change 2 years
change
from now.
Change in a minute.
Exactly. So Apple needs to fix things right now, today, so that a year and a half from now, when the next Google phone is as good as an iPhone in every way, that all these problems are no longer problems. Think of all the problems that Apple computers used to have 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that now are just completely inoperative and irrelevant and only show that the person making that argument just isn't very, very hip. We want that to be the case a year and a half from now, saying, well, the approvals process, well, that was fixed like a year ago, dude.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Don't you listen to the show?
Well, they absolutely have to dive into it. I do think...
There's going to be a rebellion at WWDC if they haven't fixed it by then.
Yeah, I agree.
The clock is ticking.
Yeah, I think by then they're going to have to figure something out.
They got 6 months to figure this thing out.
They have to clear it out. And that might mean tripling the number of people that are going through the process to make sure that nothing stupid is getting stopped. You know, and then you can worry about how you deal with the areas that are a little bit more gray.
It underscores the problem with the kind of micromanagement that Steve Jobs seems to prefer. It inherently creates a bottleneck, whether it's Jobs himself or this App Store approval process, this kind of dictatorial system is in the long run doesn't scale.
But I mean, as a software developer, one of the things that you know, we stopped developing one of our applications on Windows because it required too much customer support. I mean, that's the bottom line. It was called Deflection. We were getting 15% of our sales and 90% of our calls were coming from Windows. And we just stopped making it because it was just, and the reason that we were able to, the reason we kept on developing on a Mac was because there were very few people, because we only had to test it on a certain number of systems and we knew it would work. This open-ended piece meant that we would theoretically need 27 or 28 machines with different operating systems and different setups and everything else to try to figure out whether our app was actually, because our app was a little on the edge of, using a lot of what the computer can do. And it just wasn't reasonable, and so the thing is that control has its, obviously, its drawbacks, but it also has its benefits, which is that we can actually, it's a safer place to to build stuff, you know, and I think
the guys at Gameloft must agree with you because they've announced they're a game producer that they're scaling back their Android production and because of the weaknesses of its application store and increasing their development for the Apple iPhone, probably because you sell a lot more games for there.
Well, and I think that there's going to be an issue with all of these phones is that while a lot of people are putting out great phones, I think that the issue is you're going to
go where the money is.
Well, this is how, you know, once Microsoft got to a certain point where it pulled away, it becomes very hard to catch up. And I think that that people are having that trouble with the iTunes store. And I think people are going to continue to have trouble with the App Store related to the iPhone. As the iPhone continues to sell the millions that it's selling, it's going to be harder and harder and harder for these for anyone to catch up. If AT&T and Apple really had some semblance of, you know, we want to finish this off, if they just wanted to finish this thing off, what they would do is they'd start making it so there's no $99. Like, you can just get an iPhone with your subscription, which makes
might
total.
As well. Why not?
Might as well.
But isn't that AT&T's decision, not Apple's decision?
It's both, I'm sure. But the thing is, if AT&T just wanted to finish this thing off, they would just make it so that next year you can get a free iPhone. And I don't even know if Apple could supply that many. You know, at that point, you know, because when you really saw the huge jump is when we went down to $99, you know, and I'm kind of surprised that they haven't done that to this point.
Alexandre de Rochefort, who is the finance director for Gameloft, says they sell 400 times more games on iPhone than they do on Android.
400 times, not 400%.
400 times.
400 times.
Yeah, which is 40,000%. And he says that, frankly, it's too hard to get promoted in the Android store. Mm-hmm. People just don't know you exist, which is some people have complained about a problem as well on the Apple side.
Well, the funniest part of the promotion with Apple is that if I think I own almost every app in an Apple ad.
Yeah. So does everybody else.
Ads
That's
and I go,
the key.
I go, oh, I
those
need
ads. I'm sure Apple does those ads as much for the ISVs as they do for the phone. It makes them happy.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to wrap this guy up with our picks of the week. Andy, Alex, and I, quick, get to work. I have extra I have so many picks that if you guys...
I have a great one. I have a great one.
I'm going to go last because I'm going to let you guys steal steal my picks because I have so many today. I actually hope you do. Before we do that, though, I want to remember to remind you about audible.com and a special Thanksgiving deal from Audible this week. If you go to audible.com/Thanksgiving, you can get a book free. Now, this is... If you're already an Audible member, this is not for you. This is for people who are not yet Audible members who would like to sample Audible. And maybe some of you said, I don't want to give them my credit card. I don't want to sign up for anything. I just want to get a book for free. Well, go to audible.com/Thanksgiving because your wish is Audible's desire. Audible.com/Thanksgiving. I think this is only going on for a few more days. Actually, it might be over now. Let me see. Let me make sure they're still doing this. No, I'm still doing it. Last chance, though. Get on over there. And the Big Listen, they call us. More than, I think it looks like 24 books that you can choose from, including your pick last week, Andy.
Last
Badass. Yeah.
Yes.
Badass is one of the free books. Three Cups of Tea, really great book. Highly recommended. I'm going to sign out so that I can... I can look at this because I'm signed in. It says, we're sorry. This is for new customers only. Oh, but I want a free book. This is when you're glad you're new to audible.com. You've resisted my importunes all this time.
This is your payoff. This is your reward for ignoring our advice.
For so long. You see, there is a reward for being stubborn. No credit card required. You just go. You just download. But it's a great way to get introduced to Audible. Metatropolis is available free. That is really good. That was their science fiction project from last year that I really liked. We were giving that away, I remember. Escape to Witch Mountain. There's some good choices for kids. Redwall. I love that book for kids. Badass.
Badass.
Blackberry
A
Planet.
Brent Martin production.
It does. I know. I told about 3 or 4 people about Badass this week saying, you got to get this one. Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland, Charlie Wilson's War. Fahrenheit 451, if you like sci-fi. I Am Legend, if you're ready for the holidays, A Christmas Carol. And this is, A Confederacy of Dunces by John Kennedy Toole. Flash forward. Anyway, go to audible.com/Thanksgiving. Get your free book right now. And, you know, if you decide you like it, then I want you to go to audible.com/MacBreak And you can get the gold account and get another free book. So two free books. Anything you want to recommend, Andy? I saw Sarah Palin's book is on.
Have you listened to that yet?
Going Rouge? Yeah, I can't wait to hear it.
Going Rouge.
Well, I've heard it. It's mostly clicks, pops, and buzzes. I believe it's not a fault with the encoding. I think it was just my brain saying, I can't let you do this to us.
No, I think this would be, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting.
Well,
does she narrate it? I have to see. Let me see. I have to sign back in to find out.
Even worse. Even worse. Stop talking.
Oh, come on. Let me see. Going Rouge, An American Life, Sarah Palin, former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin is making headlines. Oh, yeah. Sarah narrates it. Oh, yeah. Let's listen just a little bit there.
Going to get Fran Drescher?
See, let's just listen a little bit. Yeah, Fran Drescher would be funny, wouldn't it?
Annoyed at my own annoyance. I still hadn't learned to accept the fact that political machines twist and distort public service, and that a lot of times...
You know, if you're a Sarah Palin fan, this is hog heaven.
You didn't fast forward. That was like the first thing. Like
that's the pick.
I don't think that like the person who chooses the clips is being malicious. I just think because I was flipping through it at the bookstore, and it's like, this was totally not my fault. Like,
they twist and distort public service.
I blame this other person for this. The thing that you would blame me for my behavior was totally not my fault. You know. Like, oh, well, you're saying it in such a folksy way. Of course you're not vegan.
Sure. You know what the difference is between a soccer mom and a pig?
Very little they do makes any sense.
A pig has a sense of personal responsibility.
Years before, I had seen our state speeding toward an economic train wreck.
Anyway, that's one of the many books. Look, 60,000 books of all political stripe. You get your liberals, too. You can take shots at them. In fact, Al Franken does some great books on here. But the point is, this is your library, your bookstore, everything you'd want to listen to. It's all here. audible.com/MacBreak to sign up for the gold account, but this week only. Let me see when this expires. You really want to go through November 26th, so you got two more days if you're listening live. What is November 26th, Thanksgiving? Yeah, it runs out on Thanksgiving Day, so I guess that makes sense. It's the Thanksgiving giveaway. audible.com/Thanksgiving. I give thanks for Audible. I know you will, too. And we thank them so much for their support. We should, you know, we should do a Thanksgiving episode of our shows in which we just thank everybody.
Thank you.
This show would not exist without, you know, people like you, Alex, and you, Andy, and all the great people and all our great sponsors and mostly our audience. So I'm very grateful to all of you.
Well, I'm especially grateful to Starbucks Coffee and Chipotle Grill, which surely will be sending us each very large gift cards in exchange for the nice things we said spontaneously.
Gold cards.
You gave up on that Burger King card, did you? Whatever happened? Did you ever get a Burger King card?
I got it now.
Are you kidding?
It's just that every time I use it, there's this discussion with the manager because they've never seen what is this? Did you make this yourself? No. It's like kick a call. The manager comes in and says, "I've never seen one of these before.
I have a gold card." Now is your gold card good for forever?
It is. I believe it was a modified gold card. I think there's enough credit on the card to comfortably satisfy a desire for the occasional burger. I do not believe that could simply say how many frozen patties you got back there. Great, I'll have them.
You couldn't buy the store.
If that were the possibility, that would be like my gift, like on Thanksgiving. You said, how much food do you have in there? Congratulations, you just got the rest of the day off. I'm going to buy you out completely. I don't care what you
burgers
do with it.
Burgers for sold, everyone. You
can tell your manager we had no food left. Some guy ordered 800 patties. We had to close the store.
Everybody gets a Whopper.
Yes.
Well, anyway, so yes, so Chipotle Grill. Andy is grateful for.
It's a hell of an app.
Starbucks.
It's true. Look, I had this show is powered by two coffees because Alex showed up with a triple tall latte, and Frederic went out and got me a bus stop. See, it says good coffee on it.
Is it good?
It is. It's very good. This is a Mexican mocha. It's fantastic.
Really?
So I'm actually powered by, well, that would make five shots, I believe, of powerful gasoline.
Caffeine makes me a bit nervous.
Mr. Andy Notcoat, you want to start this pick section?
Yes. Now, nothing that happens bad on my computer is my fault, you betcha. Whenever things slow down, it's not because I'm an incompetent manager of system resources. It's things that are outside of my control. Toward that effect, one of the greatest downloads I've had, I think in the past 2 or 3 months, has been Click to Flash. It is a perfectly slick, above-board plugin for any WebKit browser, and of course that includes Safari, that simply adds a little level of sophistication to use of Flash. When you have this plugin installed, it's a simple installer, and then you restart Safari. Anytime there's Flash content, you will not see the movie, or you will not see the ad, or you will not see the whatever. You will see a very simple, sedate little gray box that simply says Flash. And then you simply click on that to load in that content and execute it. So the effect is that a website that might have taken like 30 seconds to load in will take now 5 seconds to load in because it's not bothering to load in and execute all these separate bits of code. It also means that my browser doesn't slow down to a crawl after being up for about 2 days. Because you don't have these like 10, 20, 30, 40 little pieces of code hiding in all these different open windows and tabs. It also means that when I restart my browser, I reopen a window that might have had a YouTube video, there's no longer a chorus of 8 different Flash things. When I hit a website that has made the mistake of having an autoplay Flash ad, it doesn't just start to pierce my eardrums with unwanted advertising, and it's just speeds up my browser. It stabilizes the browser in a way that I find extremely extremely happifying, and it adds a bunch of new features too above and beyond just simply blocking Flash, because if there are certain sites where the Flash is actually important. Like if you if you go to like CNN.com and you're always clicking on video, if you're going to YouTube specifically and you want to make sure that you can actually see the YouTube videos, for each one of these little like grayed out boxes, there's also a little pop up gear of settings and functions so that you can simply say you can see that this content came from YouTube.com and then say, okay, well, anytime there's content from YouTube.com, don't even ask. You can go ahead and play it. On YouTube specifically, there's also a second feature where since nearly all of their video is encoded in H.264 as well as Flash, you can simply say, don't show this to me as Flash, show this to me as QuickTime video. It'll open it directly inside a QuickTime player, which is a big, big deal for me because so often there'll be like a 9-minute long video and I really only want to see some bit that's about 3 minutes into it. One of the reasons why I was playing George Formby at the top of the show was I was watching a YouTube video of Peter Sellers, and the clip was supposed to be about him playing George Formby's When I'm Cleaning Windows, but it was in the middle of a 9-minute long clip, and the only way to really get to the thing I actually wanted to see was to use Click to Flash, open it in QuickTime, it'll download the entire video directly from YouTube, and then just simply move the scrubber until I'm actually at the part where I want to actually see stuff. So it's one hell of a nice enhancement. It's not one of these hacks that tries to intercept what the browser is supposed to do. It uses Apple's own mechanism, WebKit's built-in mechanism for adding plugins and extending the functionality of the software. So it works perfectly and doesn't throw any monkey wrenches into things. And it's free. You can donate some money if you like it a lot, but you can just download it and just use it and love it.
Very good. URL?
URL. rentzja.github.com R-E-N-T. Again, this is why, you know, even I have a name like Anatko. I know it's hard to spell. That's why I decided to have a URL, cwob.com. R-E-N-T as in Tom, Z as in Z, S as in C-H.github. Why don't we just post that somewhere?
What should I Google? Give me a Google term.
Google for Click to Flash. Click the word to Flash, and you will find it.
And I can say that it was very easy to find, and it's already installed, and it works great.
Wow. While he was talking.
While I was trying to spell R-E-N-T-Z-S-C-H.
No, now I'm sitting here looking at YouTube, and it just says Flash.
There is for Firefox users, a Flash Block utility that does the same thing. I think it's a really good thing to block that Flash.
And I should point out that it's not simply a flash blocker. It simply gives you a level of control over how flash is executed on your machine.
Right.
Because like I said, you can have exceptions to simply say that this is a site where every time it uses flash, it's usually a good thing. It can even be selective so as to say that if you're on like ESPN.com, flash that originates from ESPN.com, load in automatically. Flash that does not originate from ESPN.com, let me choose.
You know, I haven't done a lot of plugins, or I haven't done any plugins, I think, for Safari, except maybe one password. Does it is it easy to install these?
I have a post-it note next to my camera saying, do not say the word again.
Say that again, would you?
Oh, people, if it's a drinking game, drink up, guys. Again.
Oh, no.
Thanksgiving is coming. You got to build up your tolerance for
items. Cold duck.
Korean War story.
I just installed it. That was easy.
There's a built-in mechanism for plugins. It is the existence of a piece of code inside a folder inside your library folder. That's all that has to happen.
It did it very quickly and easily. That's great.
So to remove it, the software that installs it can also deinstall it. But if you want to skip that, you can just go into a certain plugins folder inside your library's folder, drag it off, restart your browser, and it's gone.
So now that it's installed, I have to restart. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you'll have to restart
your browser. I like also that you can whitelist sites. So there are many sites that you want to have Flash be available. Flash adds a lot of great functionality, and so you can say on that site I know what I'm getting, and that's fine.
I love that.
That's great.
See that big ad, that big banner ad that started every time I go to YouTube for wild dogs, hogs, whatever it is.
No, and because of the whitelist feature, if you said because that ad is not hosted by YouTube, that gets blocked. You could say every time something is originated from YouTube.com, all that video will automatically come in.
That's really nice. That's really nice. Yeah. Oh, and see that now it's loading. I still don't want to see it.
All right, it's your turn, Alex Lindsay. What is your pick of the week, my friend?
I have a great application.
Of course you do. How much is this going to cost me?
Zero.
Zip.
Wow. And you will not believe that this application is for free.
Okay.
Okay, so it's called Wave Agent, and you can go to waveagent.com. Now, if you go to waveagent.com, what it's going to do is it's going to redirect you to sound devices. Now, to understand what sound devices makes the sound recorders that we use for all of our recording. So everything we record goes through a version of a sound device, the 702T, 788T.
This is John from Sound Devices.
Oh, sorry.
And I want to brief.
Go away, John. Andy's talking right now.
And actually, John was in my office last week, and so he was pointing this out, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, I have to talk about this because what it is it is a lot of times we have things we want to convert sound files, we want to do all these other things. Sometimes you don't want to do all of that. All you want is you just want to know what's on the sound file. You know, you don't want it to be heavy. You don't want it to go through a lot of conversion. You just want to see what's there. So what this allows you to do is simply load up a whole bunch of audio files and then play them. You know, so I can hit, you know, I just hit play and it'll
that's great.
It'll just play them back. Now,
it tells you
all the information. You can change the information. You can change what its frame rate is, what its sample rate is. These are all things that are in the metadata. You can split the tracks. So let's say you recorded an 8-track thing and you want to just split out all the tracks. That's all you want to do. You don't want to recompress it. You don't want to change the structure of it. All you want to do is load up an 8-track video. Audio, and just hit split. Or you want to combine the tracks, and
you can combine those tracks. We work with audio all the time.
You can rename them. You can grab a whole bunch of files, listen to them, delete files, or you can just sit there and pull them all in, and then just say copy all the files that I left in this area to a new folder. You can grab them from all these different areas, and all of this stuff is, you know, it's a kind of a tool that a lot of us use in audio files. You know, it doesn't do too much. It does just what you need to kind of organize files. If you add scenes and takes, a lot of this stuff is designed for sound devices is heavily used in the film industry. And so a lot of this is you'll see scene, takes, circled, wild track, what project, so on and so forth. You can have all of that information, and then you can have it rename all the files based on that information that you added. It's free. It's free. There's no reason not to download it. So it is a great, great little application that I can't believe I didn't know about until last week. Wave Agent, and you can just go to waveagent.com, or you can go to Sound Devices and find the download area. But waveagent.com is the easiest place to find it.
And I have, thank you, Alex Lindsay. I have as my pick three, not one, not two, but three different programs that have been significant programs that have been updated since we last spoke. I'm going to start with 1Password, which is finally out with its version 3 that will work with Snow Leopard.
There you go.
Unfortunately, not a free upgrade, but there are a lot of new features. 1Password works with the iPhone, which is great. It keeps track of your logins, your passwords. You have secure notes. You can even store things like software licenses, and it has a new section just for software licenses. So that makes it a little easier. You could attach files to it, which is great. For instance, 1Password's license is a file. They have a really clever licensing thing. They give you a JPEG that you drag onto 1Password, and it's the license is somehow embedded in that. It's very clever. You can edit items in the browser. It's got tagging, syncs with your iPhone and your touch, Safari login, bookmarklet. They've really updated this significantly. However, if you haven't purchased it, $40 and well worth it. Unfortunately, if you have 1Password 2, which I do, you have to upgrade. If you bought since February, I mean, they're being fairly generous. I bought it well before February. I've owned 1Password for a long time. You can upgrade for free. And if you bought it before February, then you have to pay for a little upgrade. But I have to say, this is well worth it. So that's one. For those who use 1Password, upgrade is out. Version 3 is out now. And if you don't, it is easily the best password management utility on the Macintosh. 2, Handbrake 0.9.3 was released over the weekend.
Yay.
What are you giggling about, Andy and Notco?
No, no.
You're giggling.
I think they're using Zeno's paradox as a way of releasing software.
Inching closer.
They need to get from 0 to 1.0. First they released 0.5, then 0.75, then 0.87, now 9.3, then 9.4, then 9.41. They will never get to 1.0.
Never.
You know, I think that's actually a really good development.
That's smart. Because that way you don't have expectations.
You're like, hey, I'm still working on it. We're not even to version 1.0 yet.
It is Windows and Mac, but it's always worked best on the Mac. And by the way, now accepts any kind of video. They're using FFmpeg and the library's libav codec and libav format so that they can take anything. Of course, it is a great DVD ripper. Word of warning, it does not contain anything to remove encryption from DVDs, but if you have VLC installed, it just uses its library, does that automatically. They say the video quality has been improved thanks to improvements in the X264 project. So they say dramatically enhanced picture quality if using H.264.
Through the use of psychovisual rate distortion and adaptive quantization.
They also say it's faster. Persistent queues, which is nice because after a crash, I always had to rebuild the queue. It remembers it now. And quite a bit more, including improved audio-video synchronization, which is always a complaint when you're doing this kind of transcoding. Theora is now in there. Handbrake 0.9.2 from handbrake.fr. And my final update, and it's been a long time since we've seen an update, of Camino. 2.0 is out. Camino was the browser before, Apple and Firefox came along. I believe it's built on WebKit. Does a lot of the same things that WebKit does. It's the most Mac-ish of browsers, and I'm glad to see that they're still developing it. Open source, very Mac-focused, universal application, so it should run even on PowerPC, which is something you can't say for Safari for. You know, I don't, but I thought when it came out, I thought I'd give it a try, and now they've added tabs. It's comparable. I'd say it's comparable.
I have to admit, I bounce back and forth. I have different uses for Firefox.
It used to be the speediest. I don't need a third browser either. Yeah. But I thought I'd mention
it. Used to be the thing where it was the most Cocoa-like browser for the Mac. Safari might have taken that crown away, but Safari is getting buttonitis and featureitis, so I don't know.
It's certainly worth looking at. They've got tabs now. They've got phishing and malware protection. Download notifications using Growl. I don't know what annoyance blocking is, but boy, if you can have annoyance blocking. Oh, it blocks pop-ups, ads, and flash animations.
All together.
Isn't that interesting?
I'd like that on my iPhone for sometimes people around me.
Yeah. Apple scripting. It's a good Apple scriptable application. A lot of support for Apple-ish standards. It's not WebKit. It's Gecko. So it's using the Firefox engine. It's Gecko 1.9. So that's good to know. So if you've got Safari, you don't want to use Firefox. It probably will work with a lot of the Firefox extensions, although I haven't tried that. So three new versions of three classic Mac apps, 1Password, Handbrake, and Camino. That's my pickish of the weekish. And I think we are...
We've run the ship aground.
We're done. We've run this ship aground.
We've run this right into the ground. There's nothing left to do but to see if we can get our deposit back on the rental.
I do hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy your turkey day. For those of you outside of the country, this is this thing we do. We get around. We get together with family and friends. Have turkey. Get sleepy. Watch football. And go buy Black Friday deals. We still don't know if that 25% off Max deal was a fake or real. We'll know by next Monday. Mm-hmm. But Apple has said if you go to the Apple store, we're going to have some special deals the day after Thanksgiving. They even say it in the UK Apple store, where, of course, there is no Thanksgiving. They just say Friday is going to be a good day.
we're spreading the Thanksgiving love.
Friday is going to be a good day. Boy Genius Report does have that Apple Black Friday brochure, and they say it's been leaked one more time. So, boy, this is even more detail. Whoever's the Photoshop wizard behind this is really putting some effort into these deals. Yeah. iMac starting at $1,098, iPod Nanos at $138, iPod Touch $178, MacBook Pros $1,098, MacBook Pro, Apple TV $208, Airport Express $88. I'd buy an Airport Express for $88.
This is a lot of work if you're making a fake.
Boy, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, and those are realistic sounding discounts. It's not Airport Express $19, right. MacBook Pro $40.
And by the way, not at the Apple store. You have to go online, according to this ad, fake or real, we don't know. Go to Boy Genius Report. You can see the details.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you just think about the mayhem that would...
Oh, yeah, you can't do this at the stores. And it is would be one day only. Now, they've done that before with only on Black Friday. So even if you don't have Thanksgiving, you do have Black Friday, I'm happy to say. So enjoy your turkey and or your deals at the Apple store. And we'll be back next week for another Mac Break Weekly. But now... Get back to work. Break time is over.